Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Good afternoon. Welcome to TNJ Radio. Welcome to TNJ Radio. We appreciate you joining us on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in once again. I'm here with my main man, Jay Wells. How you doing, brother?
I'm excellent, bro. Peace and blessing, kings and queens. Hope everyone's having a great week.
Absolutely. And we are back once again to talk about solution-based radio. That's all we do here on TNJ Radio, talk about solutions for the black community, and that's what we're here to do for you once again. How has things been going, Wells? You been good, man? Taking it easy? We had a week off, so you been all right?
Yeah, man, pretty good, bro. Just got back here from out of town doing work stuff. Been actually productive this week, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, I've been good, man. I think we both were out of town, actually. You were out in Boston on business, and I was out in Atlanta doing the same. So good to be back with you, man, doing what we do. So we're going to jump right into it on this afternoon. And this week is actually something that we care dearly about. It's funny because I was listening to when I was down in the A, I was listening to Queen Latifah, UNITY, the old school joint, and we had actually already had the topic for this show and everything put together and whatnot, but it was just kind of like one of those omens that you hear the song and then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, we really supposed to be talking about that. But unity within the black community is what, you know, the topic is tonight, and we just feel like it's something that needs to be touched upon. And as you know, we will talk about solutions after we talk about our views on the topic. But throughout our existence here, it's just been one thing after another where our folks have been continuously divided by others, and then that carried on to us, you know, dividing ourselves, which in my personal opinion was a strategic divide by the American establishment, and then that ultimately caused us to, you know, dislike each other and to be, lack unity amongst ourselves. And so there's a lot of different directions and areas that we could go in with this, but we're really going to talk about a little bit about integration and desegregation and how that really fueled the lack of unity in the black community. We'll talk about kind of what is unity, because it's really a broad topic. And then also one of the things that we've done this before, and sometimes you feel bad about it, but is criticizing other black people publicly considered lacking unity amongst the people. And that's really important, because we banged on Don Lemon a little bit a couple weeks ago before we took a week off, and I just wonder if that's something that people view as lacking unity. So that's really what we're going to talk about today. Wells, for me, and you can go back to the early to mid-1950s when integration really started to take off. I think that's when the unity within the black community kind of really started to fade and fall apart, because we had access to things that we didn't have access to previously. And what those things were essentially was access to white folks. When you really break it down, you know, access to jobs and companies and things of that nature that we didn't before. We had our own Black Wall Street and our own establishments. But once integration occurred, we had the green light to separate from each other. And that caused us to not stick together anymore. And from what I would say personally, right around 1950 is when everything really started to break down in terms of the lack of black marriages, the lack of black families sticking together, and the whole nine. But when would you say, from your personal view, that the kind of unity within our culture really started to fall apart within America?
Like segregation itself. And it's like, when you think about segregation, it was literally a situation where it was just us. And with segregation, we were able to kind of, it forced us into a position where all we had was us. And because of that, we had to learn how to work together, live together, have a disagreement, move past that disagreement, and continue to function together as a unit, as a community. Because essentially, we were all we had. We weren't allowed to go into so-called white stores or go to white businesses. And so many of us, we saw the disrespect shown to us. So we were just like, forget this, man. We're going to focus on working together and doing business with each other. And that's what created so many of the successful black communities that you were just referencing. That's what developed, and those things were developed during segregation. And you hear about the different black Wall Streets around the country, like in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Raleigh, North Carolina, Philly. You hear about all those different Wall Streets or business areas where black businesses flourished by doing business strictly with each other. And this essentially showed the country that we are more than capable of functioning and establishing our own communities without help. And we didn't need them. And when you think about those communities, our children were being taught at higher levels. Our children were learning from men and women of the community. They took more pride in the community. And I don't have statistics on it, but I'm sure crime in those communities were down. You know what I'm saying? Because you're being influenced by people of the community. It's a lot harder to steal from someone that you know or to steal from someone that goes to school with your grandmother. You know what I'm saying? That went to school and raised by your grandmother. It's like, so you look at people different. And when you think about that from the educational aspect, you think about how a 12-year-old boy treats a teacher that goes to church with his mother. You know what I'm saying? When you think about that, a child's going to act differently when he knows if I act up, my mom's going to hear about this. You know what I'm saying? So kids are in a more stable situation. And when you think about the effects of desegregation and how that gave white America the opportunity to kind of infiltrate our community, it's like when we talk about how there's no black businesses in so-called white communities, but there's a ton of Asian, Korean white businesses in black communities. And it created an open market with our community, but again, the adverse effect did not happen. So with that, this crippled black businesses, and it's kind of like they took that opportunity to kind of lay their claim on our dollars and infiltrate our school systems, control how we're learning and what we're learning. And it's kind of one of those things, like where you think about how when we got to the point where we were standing on our own 2 feet, they said they felt like they didn't have control of that. So they took that opportunity to kind of, hey, we're going to teach you guys what we want you to be taught. And if people are going to make money in this community, it's going to be us kind of thing. And unfortunately, because of self-hate, I feel like I always talk about self-hate, but self-hate affects us on so many different levels. And self-hate within our own culture, we felt the nerves. We felt like we needed to, oh, man, if there's a white business here, they must have better products. I'm going to go there instead of continuing to support the brothers that I was supporting in the past. And that, again, that crippled black businesses within the communities. And it's really kind of weird, man. It's like we missed the boat on that. You know what I'm saying? It's like we lost that opportunity to kind of stick together. And it's almost like it's like that quote. I don't have it verbatim off the top of my head, man, where Martin Luther King says he desegregated us into – or I forgot exactly how it went, man, but pretty much how he backpedaled us into a situation where we've lost all control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really think that was kind of one of the things that really kind of hurt our culture. And that was pretty much essentially the 60s. Well, going into the 60s.
Right.
It's been an uphill battle since. It's like our communities haven't been able to recover from that. And it's like now we take into consideration how so many of our communities have been just run down. They haven't been well kept. Just the simple civic duties haven't been taking place. It's really one of those things that our lack of ownership within the community has kind of hurt us in that regard. Like, because we don't own the businesses, we don't take pride in the little things that are around us. And that's one of the reasons why so many black communities have the plight that they suffer.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that all unity and all structure and everything that has solidarity begins with the family structure. And between 1890 and 1950, black women were married at higher rates than white women. I mean, that, like, at this point in time in our country's plight, that's hard to believe. But during that time span, black women were actually married at a higher rate, which means that brothers were actually marrying black women, which means that the unity was there. Because, I mean, we all know that during that time span, there clearly was no interracial marriage going on, which allowed for family unity to stay intact. But moving forward, as time, you know, kind of went on and on and on, and post-1950, all of that shift really started to take place once integration kicked in. And it's really interesting how now, as of, I think it was last year, if I'm not mistaken, I was reading that over 70% of African-American children are born out of wedlock. So you go from 1890 to 1950 with black women being married at higher rates than white women to, you know, as of last year, there being a 70%, well, 72%, you know, out of wedlock birth rate for black kids. I mean, that tells the story right there of where the lack of unity starts, because it's, you know, within the family structure. And I just find that, you know, extremely intriguing, because you just think what happened between that time that caused this. And of course, we know, we can point to the infiltration of drugs, the purposeful infiltration of drugs into our communities by the federal government. We can talk about the purposeful, you know, adding these long jail sentences onto black men for crimes that were, you know, they could have gotten 5 years for, they gave them 15 or 20 years for, and then that ruined a child's life and ruined, you know, the whole family structure for years to come. So you can point to those types of things as what really happened during that gap. But when you look at it in its totality, it's just absolutely startling that I believe that's kind of where the unity really broke down. But to kind of keep the dialogue moving forward, jumping on to the criticizing of other black folks publicly, I feel that it's necessary at times, depending on the place that it's coming from. So, for example, if you criticize me in a constructive manner, coming from a positive place within your heart and not with malice or hate or jealousy or what have you, I don't have a problem with that. That just means that you fundamentally disagree with what I'm doing or what I'm saying, and that's fine. But if you say it from a place, you know, that's mean-spirited and absolutely just looking to tear a brother down or a sister down or jealousy or what have you, I think that's wrong. But the thing is that line has become so skewed that you really can't tell whether or not the criticism is what is infamously known as hating versus constructive criticism. Because if, a lot of the times, if I say something, I genuinely feel like this is constructive criticism and I'm not hating. But people that have hate in their, you know, in their mentality, anything negative is viewed as, oh, you know, you hate, you jealous. Well, no, it's not that. I just disagree. So with Don Lemon, for example, since we kind of, you know, got at him a few weeks ago, I feel like he's doing us a disservice. And speaking on that isn't a bad thing. Whereas sometimes I felt like Cornel West and Tavis Smiley kind of barking at President Obama was coming from a positive place and a negative place at times. So that line was extremely skewed for me. But where do you come out on that, Wells?
Well, when you bring up just criticizing other black people publicly, I don't have an issue with it. But like you said, it's not necessarily the criticism itself. It's just the type of criticism. And, like, for example, just going over the past month or so, like, we've had public figures pretty much discussing racial issues on all the different platforms. Like, we talk about Stephen A. Smith, for example. Well, he made a kind of a – it wasn't like a – it was a strange comment, and it didn't need to be said at the time. But what he was getting at is he said essentially black folks need to vote Republican just to see what happens. And then you have Common talking about brothers needing an extended hand of love. And you know Common's my man. It's been
that
tough.
Weak.
That was a tough one for me.
That was tough.
Weak. That was hard. This man, he gave us B, Finder Forever, Blackwater for Chocolate.
That hurt my soul when he said that, man.
That kind of hurt me a little bit.
Yeah,
but as much as I disagree, but we can't demean them for having their own opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are entitled to their opinion. And I mean, personally, it's impossible for me to, and speaking on Stephen A. Smith, it's impossible for me to support a party based on conserving the status quo. And that's essentially what the Republican Party is based on. And, well, but lost in the headline, Stephen A. Smith was essentially just kind of getting at the point that we need to educate voters properly. And voter education is something that I'm 100% for. I think we need more of it because so many of us just vote people just because, oh, man, I like him, but he has no loyalty to me. He's not supporting any of my issues. Like, as much as people like Barack, and I'm not going to bang on Barack, but it's like, I hate when people say, oh, man, I love them. I love the pictures they take. I'm like, what? You care? You love the president just because he has swag? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can't.
Right, right.
That's silly. You know what I mean? That's silly stuff. That's not a good reason to vote for someone. But, and I think that's something that really, like the lack of voter education that plagues our community, man. We get taken advantage of every election year. And we have to do a better job of that. And not harping on group politics again, but I think group politics can really assist with that as far as us learning together and developing a system where we vote together. But that's a whole different topic. And going back to Common, he's just bugging. I can't really get with that. But there's no more cheeks to turn, man. It's like there's no way we can extend a hand of love. I mean, we're in a country where we have a black president, a black attorney general, and white supremacy is being rubbed in our faces daily. So clearly, whatever we're doing, it's not working. And turning the other cheek is definitely not working. So it's more of a time for action more than anything else. And that's where you kind of look at, you want to take consideration that these guys, they do deserve to have their own. It's just like, listen to TNJ Radio, these are our opinions. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so we take full advantage of the freedom of speech. And I would be, like, I love the feedback that we get, like the good and the bad. But obviously for us, man, most of it has been good. But it's just like the feedback that we get. I love when people tell us or challenge or question something that we've said. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
I appreciate that because I'm all about the dialogue at the end of the day. Because until we have real dialogue, we won't find answers and we won't develop solutions for a lot of the issues that plague our community. And using Stephen A. Smith for an example again, just going back to him, he got a lot of publicity for the wrong piece of what he was saying. Because at the end of the day, after I heard him out, he was really saying we need to get educated as voters and you should vote for people based on what they could do for you instead of what their party is. He could have said it better, but that's essentially what he was getting at.
Well, I can't speak on the Stephen A. Smith thing because I didn't see it, and like I really stopped messing with Stephen A. a long time ago. I mean, just to keep it extra 100. But okay, so here's my thing, man. Like, I kind of agree with some of what you said, but like I disagree to a certain extent because, excuse me. Here's where I kind of draw the line. When you talk about, you know, the unity aspect of this, it's about protecting each other. Like, unity is about, when you talk about unity, when you talk about the community sticking together, when you talk about people policing their own neighborhoods, the family structure, all of those things, you talk about doing things to other people and not putting your brothers and sisters and community in a bad spot. And all of these people are putting us in a bad spot collectively by the things that they say. So, like, that's where I have a problem with Common. Like, that's why I can't mess with Common right now. Like, you say that, but then you go and hang out in Hollywood, and then all of like the collective of black folks that live in the real world have to deal with the people that heard your comment, that soaked in what you said, and then you don't really have any real repercussions for it because you, for one, are financially in a place to where you really don't have to answer to anybody if you really don't want to. You can kind of, you know, put some money in a savings account and live off it for the rest of your life. And you don't have to deal with the daily neighborhood type of aspects that everybody else has to deal with. And so I feel like you can't say things that put the larger whole in a bad spot. And Stephen A. Smith does the same thing. Don Lemon does the same thing. When you go on TV and say, pull up your pants to a majority audience that doesn't look like you, and then all these black folks that are in these communities and aren't in your position, they have to bear the brunt of your comments. And, like, that's where I have a problem with it. That's where the unity breaks down for me. That's where you're not protecting your brothers and your sisters by your comments. So if you want to have an opinion, that's cool. But, like, when you do it, you have to make sure that you are protecting the people that you're speaking on. And in those instances, I just don't feel like they did that. I feel like it was more of a situation where they actually hung us out to dry as opposed to protecting our best interests. I mean, you feel where I'm coming from?
I feel you completely. And with both of those guys, they were very self-serving in that. So I agree with you on that part. It's like they weren't thinking about the community as a whole. They were just thinking from their perspective, and their perspective is jaded compared to the whole of the community. So I feel you on that. And that kind of goes back into the things that kind of came with integration. It's like with integration coming in, it's like black people essentially started selling business within our community to white business owners. And that kind of separated us. You know what I'm saying? So it's like in this situation, comments, it separates us, man. It's like, how can we turn the other cheek? Well, you got the cop that shot Tamir Rice in Cleveland. He's still going to work.
Right.
I don't even think this guy got suspended or anything. It's like there's been no comment. How can we pretend like that didn't happen? You know what I mean? So it's like that's kind of silly. And it's kind of hard for him to say that when he's living in Malibu or something. When you have these real life situations happening to brothers on a day to day basis.
Yeah, and that's the main, that's where I come in on that, and it's just really tough. But in regards to unity in our daily lives, I think is really important as well, because when you think about, like, I think about all of the things, and I'm here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it's a young professional scene and a black professional scene and all of that type of thing going on here. And you can really tell that the unity is there and then it's not there. You know, it's really weird. It's not, and I'm not banging on anybody here, and it's kind of been the same everywhere that I've gone. It's like even our talented 10th, our most, if you want to say, well-educated, which really doesn't mean anything. It only means that you have a paper saying that you did something, but it doesn't mean that you're actually the best educated or the smartest. But, like, those people are not about the unity. They're about the self-promotion. They're about, let's go to this event and take 50 Instagram pictures and, you know, post it on LinkedIn, and let's say that I did this and let's say that I did that for the purpose of promoting themselves and making themselves bigger. And that bothers me, because I always wonder, well, where's the unity amongst, you know, us on a community level, you know, like outside of these celebrity folks, but on a grander scale. I mean, not on a grander scale, on that smaller scale.
Yeah. And it kind of, like, when it comes to this particular situation, when it comes to our unity, man, it's like, I always say the key to social change is through economics. And we talk about it, and I'm going to keep mentioning a lot of these things because I really feel like they can really help us as a community. And we have to truly create unity and build equity and trust within each other. And a key component in doing that is to start supporting black businesses. There are so many talented brothers and sisters around, and they make quality products, but we immediately think to spend money with people of other races that don't think anything of us. It's like, if you know a sister that works in the hair industry and she's selling weaves, buy weave from her. Don't go straight to the Asian community and let them dominate our culture like this. You know what I'm saying? They have us so locked down. You go to any Sally's in any neighborhood, any part of the country, there's Asians in there, man. They're selling all this hair to our sisters. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and that's just crazy to me. And, I mean, if you need to go buy some sweats, there's a million people selling T-shirts and hoodies. If you need workout clothes, there's a million women selling all types of things. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we got to start supporting each other on a smaller level. And as we continue to do that, that'll continue to expand culturally. But, again, my overall point is, man, we have to change the way we look at each other. And the self-hate, it holds us back on a day-to-day basis. And we can't have a country, or we can't build a nation, a strong black nation, with so many people being afraid to work with each other, talk to each other. And we can't have one bad experience working with a black business turn us away from everyone. You know what I'm saying? We can't live like that.
Yep.
And, like, that stuff is petty, man. How many times have you gone to McDonald's and they messed up your order and you went back through? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
you can't
do that. We can't live like that, man. I'm not a fast food guy, but I'm just using that as an example. There's just so many different ways that we can support each other, and we continuously turn our backs on each other. And that's just, honestly, that's weak to me. And as a culture, if we really want to build a true black nation and build a country that respects us, we have to support each other.
I agree 100%. I think that we have to, my solution for this is, in terms of the unity, is straightforward. And you guys know TNJ Radio, we shoot you straight. It's straightforward. We have to continuously give each other a chance. We have to continuously work with each other and see the positivity in each other. When you have a bad experience with a black person, we cannot put that on every single other black person. Like, we cannot do that. When you have a bad experience, just like you said, Wells, and I'm mad we kind of got the same solution, but it's actually what it is. You have to be able to differentiate an experience between one person and another person, but not hate the whole culture or vilify everybody or stereotype all of our people because of that one experience. And if you want to buy something, or if you want to mess around in the community or buy something, keep buying it from our people. Just because you had that, you know, a plumber or something come over that was a black plumber that messed up the job, like, that doesn't mean you don't stop messing around with the community to build unity within our folks. And that's the only way for us to have that collaboration, to have that love, that respect within our own culture, so that we can build back up the financial respect that we talked about earlier, so that we can build back up the family structure that we talked about existed between 1890 and 1950. That's the only way that we can do it. And, Wells, I'll let you get the last word. You want to add anything real quick, man?
Man, overall, man, we have to support each other. Do what you can, man. Even if it's something small, if you're going to just support someone, buy anything, man. We have to support our businesses. We have to uplift our culture. And going forward, man, that's the only way that we'll truly be able to kind of establish a presence economically within each other and kind of create that seed, man, that we can stop hating each other for all the wrong reasons.
Absolutely, man. And with that being said, we really appreciate you all joining us again on TNJ Radio, Solution-Based Radio. As you all know, God is love.